Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Bradfo Show, and it is delicious. It
certainly is.
Oh, my goodness. So delicious. We're at the Ford Fenway Park Studios. People lining up outside, getting ready for the big tilt between the Red Sox and the Orioles. They have to win some games, Ryan. They have to win some games. If they play, as Alex Cora said after the game last night, if they play like they did last night, they're going to be playing in October.
Will they, or they need to get some help?
A lot of people would say, if you're playing the Orioles for the last month and a half, you're going to get to October. You're going to be in good shape. The one thing I know is they can't lose. I mean, they can't lose any of these games.
No.
It's really not an option.
There's not many days left in the
calendar. There's only so many games against the Orioles, and so you better take advantage of them. And by the way, the Rays are playing Detroit, Seattle, and the Orioles the next three series.
Blah. Not good.
Not good. I mean, this is not, as Alex Cora also said, you know, this is math, and I'm no math major, but that math tells me it's going to be very difficult. Anyway, that is coming up at 6:10, Red Sox pregame show with Will Fleming. By the way, did you hear my Chuck Schick analogy?
No.
Okay. You're a golfer.
Yep.
Your handicap has plummeted recently, right?
Yeah, down the good way.
9.5?
9.2 now.
9.2, yeah. Of course. Well,
those three.
We are giving you way too much time. If you can actually calculate a 9.2 handicap.
They do it for me on the phone.
I'll do that on the phone. Okay. Don't get defensive. Anyway, you've probably seen Caddyshack,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So you know who Chuck Schick is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is he?
In the movie.
Yeah. Who is he? Chuck Schick.
Why am I drawing a blank?
He's the guy at the yacht club, which the old guy is carting around saying he's clerking for me this summer.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about? The tall guy.
I don't think I do.
Oh, no, you're ruining it for me.
I guess I ruined it.
Will Fleming is playing Chuck Schick in the new Caddyshack movie. He is that guy, the tall guy.
Why don't you drop by the yacht club?
Yes, that's it, Chuck Schick.
Well, you should have said that Will Fleming has something to do with this.
And then, yes, well, I'm trying to do the whole pregame show and Will Fleming, and so then they go and the girl Lacey Underalls, and she mm-hmm. says, like, see you later, Chuck, or something like that. You don't remember Chuck Schick?
No. Nope.
I'm going to pull up a picture of Chuck Schick anyway.
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie.
All right. Well, Will Fleming, congratulations. You are going to play Chuck Schick in the new movie.
He
is desperately asking me for a ride in the rickshaw to do a podcast in rickshaw.
Wow. People are lining up to do this.
Well, he wants to do it Monday, because it's an off day and the boom sauce will be flowing in the rickshaw.
Well, I was actually going to say, do these people think that they get like a supply of Lord Hobo, whatever beer they want?
Well, they do. I mean, sure. I mean, as long as we don't have to drive for work. Yeah.
Right. All right.
And I just want to do it because I want to see Will Fleming's knees like go above his head. Like in terms of when he gets in the rickshaw, unpack out of that thing. So it's been wildly successful, though. It's been.
Can you do different routes?
The first time I did it with Kerosene Ken. We made like six laps around Fenway Park,
and then you ventured out into.
And then
Newbury
this last
Street.
One, we went down at Newbury Street. We booked in Ryan again, the best podcast rickshaw pedicab driver in the business. He booked on down to Kenmore, went down to Newbury
wow.
Street. Like, yeah, it's a whole thing.
You can go anywhere.
And yeah, I feel like now we're getting recognized. Now people are sort of, like you said, it's almost like the Patriots Parade, the Pedicab podcast.
They're lining up.
It's okay. Well, I mean, they will be.
I saw there is.
How does Andy Hart not want to do one of these things?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Does he
just want to show up and do four hours of radio with Mark James or Dale Arnold and say, hey, you know, that's
no,
it? Come on, like, let's go.
I don't think he wants that, but he's sort of had a reputation at Patriots.com as sort of being sort of the grumpy old guy.
Not want to put himself out there a little bit?
I don't know if it's necessarily that, but there is,
Isn't this fun? Isn't this what it's all about?
I think he was No Fun Andy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was his name? No Fun Andy?
No, I just made it up right now.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's my goal for the next podcast.
To make it more fun?
No, to convince him to do one of these podcasts.
Okay. Yes. Now that I know that he doesn't want to do them.
Well, I think
he will absolutely do one.
Well, if he knows that beer's involved, I think he'll be in even more.
Well, so you guys have practice on Monday, right? You can't do it on Monday.
Well, he has Dale and Keefe.
Oh yeah. Well, maybe he should do the Dale and Keefe show from the pedicab, from the rickshaw.
That'd be good.
I mean, what are we doing here? Like, let's go.
Right.
Let's start thinking along these lines.
I agree. A ride around Gillette Stadium, that'd be awesome.
Of course. You can.
Up and down Route 1? Can you do that? Can rickshaws go?
There's the Red Wing Diner. Hey! What else is on Route 1?
Is there a restriction on what roads you can go on?
No. Right. But I asked Ryan, the pedicab driver, I said, and I'm fascinated by this topic. I'm like, is there anybody who's been too heavy? And they always played off like, no, it's nobody too heavy. And he said he's broken a chain on Beacon, but there's nobody who's too heavy. That baffles me.
I find that hard to believe.
Anyway, one place that I wish, I know that you wish you had the rickshaw, was down in Nashville.
That would have been amazing.
They have things, like I heard Nashville is a big place to be right now. I see more Instagram posing in Nashville. From
it's a big bachelorette
crew.
Party.
Yeah.
Because it's inexpensive to get there, and then once you're there, it's really not that expensive.
Okay, it's not.
No.
Okay. So, but you have like the bars that are
Broadway.
Are,
they're all on the same street.
Right. But not only the bars, you have the mobile bars. You have like basically like, it's not pedicabs, it's not rickshaws. It's like you have a bar where people are biking around.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
You have those. You know, there's a ton of things going on down there. So you went down there basically to drink and to party and maybe cover a little bit of Patriots. You had never been to Nashville before. So you were there for 2 days. What was your takeaway? Give me your biggest takeaway of watching Patriots practice and your biggest takeaway of watching people celebrate being in Nashville at night.
Well, I only went out one night.
Well, I don't care. I mean, that's enough.
It was a Wednesday night in Nashville, and you would have thought it was, you know, St. Patrick's Day in Boston.
Just you know where he was for dinner? A Mexican place.
That's what he's talking about you?
Yes, that's Andy Hart talking about me.
You went to a Mexican? So what? What's wrong with that?
I know. I kind of agree.
I mean, they have alcohol at a Mexican place.
Everybody was giving me a hard time for going to a Mexican place.
Who'd you go with?
A lot of the Patriots beat writers.
Well, why can't you mention their names? Are they getting in trouble?
No. Jeff Howe, Jim McBride, Nick Underhill, Andrew Callahan.
Okay,
Mark
so are
anyone
giving them crap for going to a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, no. I told Andy I went to a Mexican place, and it was a hard, big to-do. He said I should have got barbecue.
There is a lot of animosity that's going to be surfaced on the next off-day podcast. But Ryan Hannibal, so you went to a Mexican restaurant. You saw the scene in Nashville.
You got some great tacos, by the way.
Listen. Well, I mean, Nashville's known for its tacos, absolutely.
I didn't know that they were really known for how to get barbecue.
No, whatever. It's known for alcohol.
Yeah.
That's what it's known for, right? And I should say this. It's known for music. Music above everything, right?
Country music.
And the one thing, so I've been in Nashville for the winter meetings, and the restaurant called The Southern, which is where the Red Sox ownership group, I wasn't there at this point, the Red Sox ownership group took David Price when they were wooing him. And the takeaway there was that the sink wasn't a sink. It was a tabletop that water just fell on, and it just glided off of.
Didn't have that at any of the bars.
That's what Nashville's known for.
They're known for a lot of things, and that's one of them.
Okay, so that was the Mexican restaurants, the great tacos. You saw people drinking and so forth and so on.
Nice roof decks.
Nice roof decks. Glad we could send you there. What was your takeaway when you got, because the viewpoint of practice was on the field. It wasn't up in the stands like it is.
So there's different restrictions. You go by the home team, and the Titans are very relaxed with their restrictions where you could literally go on the sidelines of the field. So it was actually pretty cool to get the same vantage point as Bill Belichick was getting during the 11-on-11s, because he was standing pretty much at the goalpost of one of the end zones, and that's where we were standing. So we were seeing exactly what he was seeing. And just being up close and personal with the team, you can hear, you know, what the coaches are saying to the players, what the players are saying to themselves. So just being on the field was a unique perspective. We're back at Gillette Stadium. We're up in the tent. We really can't hear much unless it's Joe Judge swearing at his wide receivers and special teams players.
Oh, he's a cursor.
He's a big yeller.
Really?
Yes.
Biggest cursor on the staff?
Easily.
Really?
Oh, easily.
Who knew?
Yeah, Joe Judge.
Joe Judge knew, yes. By the way, Chris Mason of the Lawrence Eagle Tribune, amongst other papers, texted me. He said, Nashville is known for its fake candy-ass country music.
Okay. Huh.
That's fair.
It's fair.
Okay. I mean, is it fake? I mean, is it known?
The stuff I saw makes, was real.
It was, there you go. I'm not
a music expert, so I just enjoyed what I heard. I don't know if it was real or fake.
And who is the most, this is a bizarre topic, but you mentioned Joe Judge being on the field in Nashville. Yeah. You're able to see these guys. Who is the guy that you like the public perception doesn't really like meet up with the reality of how much they curse. Oh. I got a good one. I got a great one.
Who is it?
When you probably, I don't even know if you remember. Remember Bruiser Flint, the UMass coach, after Calipari?
No.
So I went to a basketball camp. Holy mackerel. Really nice guy. Yeah. Really nice guy. And had a good run as a UMass coach. But holy mackerel.
Swears a lot.
Yeah. And there's always these people, right?
Yeah.
So, again, I'm glad we were able to fly you down there for the tacos and the swearing.
That's safe. Ain't good content, you know?
So it's these practices, when you get these guys together,
yep.
Is it like, has your perspective changed at all? Having like seen it up close? And is it worth it? Is it like a thing? Is it valuable
to be up close and see?
No. Like the actual playing against another team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think that it not only do you get to have that competition, but I think it takes it's better for the games because we saw Tom Brady's not playing tonight, probably because he got most of his work done in these two sessions because they can control the situation. So on one day it was run heavy. On the next day it was 2-minute drill heavy. The next day it was red zone heavy. So they can do all these, you know, they can control the situation where in a game you could be in there for a series and only get 3 plays. So that's basically useless. So in this, you know, Belichick can say it's 2nd and 10 on the 35-yard line with 2 minutes left and they can go from there.
Against Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
Instead of
your own team. Guy. Yeah. And just for even one-on-one and individual drills, you're going up against somebody that you don't know. Whereas, you know, if you're going up against your teammate, everybody knows that you're not going to give, you know, everything that you have in that rep. So it's just different. It's good to see these, you know, different players from other teams because going against the same team over and over again in the summertime when it's hot, it gets boring. It's old.
So other than the Detroit trip, you've seen basically every practice.
Yep.
Tom Brady, in case people don't know, Mike Reese and others are now reporting that he is not going to play tonight in that game. So don't bother watching it.
Nope. Listen to
the Red Sox radio. Has he looked better, same, or even slightly worse than he has in other camps to this point?
I would say the same, but then, you know, you watch a practice like Thursday when he didn't really have anybody out there with all the injured receivers, and he looked, you know, the same that we always saw. We saw him raise the level of the guys he was throwing to, and I think that was...
Yeah, you're telling me that he's better than Brian Hoyer?
I'm telling you he's
better. That's not the way that you were talking before.
I can definitively say that he was better than Brian Hoyer.
Better than Danny Etling?
I see,
you're not going to go down that road. By the way, that's Chuck Schick right there. You know who that is?
Yeah, all right, nice. That's now it's starting to come
all
together.
All right, okay, there you go. Will Fleming is Chuck Schick. Congratulations, Will Fleming. Let's go to the phone lines. If you want to join the conversation, whatever that conversation might be, we're talking a lot about Patriots. We're talking a ton about Josh Gordon. We had Rick Porcello. That's up online right now if you want to take a listen at some point. As I say, listen at your leisure. And of course, you know, if you think the Red Sox are going to make the World Series, 617-779-7937. David in Florida, what's going on, David?
Hello, how are we doing, Brad?
Hi, David. Good, good, good. What's happening?
First of all, are they doing a remake of Caddyshack? Or
no, but I'm saying if they did, they tried. It was the worst. It was universally understood as the worst sequel in the history of sequels. Caddyshack 2.
Absolutely. I don't even remember. Absolutely.
Do you remember Chuck Schick, though? Do you remember Chuck Schick from the Caddyshack movie?
I think so. He was the intern, or the young guy.
He was clerking, yes. Who was Ted Baxter? Who was the white guy with the white hair? What was it? Judge Schmales, right?
Ted Knight.
Yeah, but what was his name? Judge Schmales, right? So he was clerking for the judge. Yes.
Yeah,
Chuck Schick.
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
all right.
He did.
All right, what do you got?
I can go with you. I can go with you that way. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, David.
What else? A remake of that.
You know, yes, it was an actual natural segue right into that. What do you got on Josh Gordon?
First of all, this whole thing with addiction and a little bit of a self-disclosure. I have depression and anxiety, too, so I understand all this stuff. But, I say this with all respect, but anybody, who has an addiction, it doesn't give you... You have to separate your thoughts from your behavior. You don't act. You don't act on every single thought you have. Okay. You have a propensity towards this disease. Just okay. But you don't have to act.
Yeah, you don't have to. Thought. But I mean, it's like you don't have to do a lot of things. I mean, but yeah. Sometimes you can't control it.
Well. I disagree with that. And anybody, I mean,
do you think what Josh Gordon has is a disease?
I think it affects your thinking and your emotions. Whether you want to call it a disease or a weakness or whatever word you want to use, it doesn't give you an excuse to misbehave. I know this is going to be a stretch and an analogy, but I mean, somebody who has diabetes, I mean, doesn't give you the right to go and steal insulin you have to separate your thoughts from your behaviors, and you still have to take responsibility for your actions, and a judge
is going to do.
It doesn't give anyone who has an addiction that's another word for excuse. I don't want to use the word excuse.
No, I hear what you're saying. I understand. I understand that, and I don't think that anyone is saying that, hey, you know what, you are absolutely excused, but at the same time, David, like, we have to understand where this is coming from. This isn't just, I want to go up in the media dining room and I want to have ice cream, which I haven't had in a year and a half. I have a choice in that. There's nothing in my head that is making me get that ice cream.
Absolutely.
If I do it, I am choosing to do it. This is not the same thing.
Well, at some point in the cognitive process, nobody is putting a gun to your head and forcing you to pick up that drink, or nobody is tying your hands behind your back and throwing the alcohol down your throat, or the drugs, or whatever. I understand it, and I have empathy for these people, and I understand it, and I get it. But yes, you have to be more careful. Don't surround yourself with people who are gonna pressure you. It is people, places, and things, to use a bit of a 12-step metaphor. But yes, you ultimately are responsible for yourself and your own actions. And it's just it's too easy and too simple to use that as an explanation. I have a disease. So you have to be responsible to take care of yourself. And just like my depression, if I get frustrated, it doesn't give me the right to be late for work.
David, you're right, and we've got to get going. Thanks for the call. But you have to work. I mean, this is the one thing. Is if you aren't working at it, then we don't have the sympathy for it.
But, right, but clearly he is, and he has.
You would think so, and there's something to work.
I mean, he got suspended in December, and now we're in, August, so clearly he was doing something in the last 7 months to get himself
Which he was before.
Right.
And this isn't... There's no, you know what, we weren't doing this before, and now we're going to do this again.
Right.
This is, let's make this clear, this is on Josh Gordon.
Right.
Right? But you have to do the best you can to build the foundation around him to maybe take those things away. And you brought it up to before, it's not just as easy as, hey, be with this guy for 24 hours
right.
a day.
Right. That's just not a way to live. And that, like she said, that's not a way for anybody to live life. That's not doing Josh Gordon any good.
All right, Eric and Winthrop, what's going on, Eric? How you doing?
Oh, hey, guys, I love the show.
Thanks.
As somebody who lives in recovery, it's really not important how other people think of it as a disease or not. You have to find out what works for yourself. I'm really rooting for Josh Gordon because, by all accounts, he's a really nice guy. You know, he's not in trouble. He's not doing malicious things out there. He just has a problem with chemicals. And it, when you go back and look at his childhood, and, yep. you know, it's understandable. And I really hope that this is the time that he pulls it together, because he has a fantastic opportunity here with you know, receiving passes from Brady and playing for the Patriots. You know, I really hope he pulls it together. And you really have to find out what works for yourself. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing.
That's a great point. Thanks for the call, Eric. You know, it's not. And I think that a lot of people want it to be. And you come back to someone that mentioned, I forget, maybe it was one of the callers, talking about the weed thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't know what he was suspended for.
No.
We do know, and correct me if I'm wrong, initially his problems was with the NFL was with regarding weed, right?
Yes, that's
correct.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, we're on the precipice of this being legalized in the NFL.
Right.
Right. And so when we're talking about giving guys second chances, and I don't know if it's gone beyond weed. I don't know. But we're talking about giving guys second chances. We just had Tyreek Hill.
I know.
We have Kareem Hunt. We have these, you know, we have Joe Mixon,
yeah.
who is being celebrated for preseason stiff arm runs, which, like, are we forgetting the video of him kicking the absolute crap out of some woman?
For sure. That's all part of this conversation.
Right? Yeah. And anybody who calls up and says, oh, you know, Josh Gordon, he had his chance and it's his fault. And from what we know, if it is like weed.
Right.
It's not apples to apples here.
I forget. I think it was Jay Glazer came out and had a report a couple weeks ago saying how the NFL has looked at all these other incidents and compare it to what's going on with Josh Gordon, and they're going to be sort of more, you know, take less with some of these things because of what's going on with some of the other cases.
It's legal in a lot of states.
Yes.
Right? And we've had, I think it was a Harvard study just come out in terms of the impact it has on CTE.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, believe me, this is coming from, as I've said many times on these airwaves, I have never had weed, never in my life, which is, I know that is not normal, but it's just a thing that I want to do. I get to the point where it's just a discipline thing. But I can understand when you have Harvard studies and CTE studies and all of it, like, I can understand where we have to look at this a little bit different. And Josh Gordon is a perfect example of this, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, and you have other NFL players, you know, coming out talking about marijuana and how the impacts and all that stuff. Retired players, current players, and I think that it started to sort of get to Roger Goodell and the rest of the league that they do have to look at this in a different manner.
But remember when Josh Gordon was busted or suspended the first time? It was like, oh, what a bad guy he must be.
Right.
You know? Right. That was definitely the narrative.
I mean, how many years ago was that, though?
Five?
Right, but just in 5 years,
I know,
the narrative
it's crazy.
Has changed.
It's
yeah.
crazy. Anyway, before we go to break, let's go to Jay in Fall River. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, really good topic. And, you know, I don't hold any ill will towards anyone who doesn't think this is a disease, because if you haven't been through it and you haven't had a family member go through it, then you really just don't get it. You know, for myself, you know, I had 4.5 years sober, and a year ago I had a slip and I had a relapse, and it's not something that I wanted to do. You know, when it comes to addiction, it pops in there and it just gnaws away at you and gnaws away at you. And if you're not on top of it, if he doesn't have a sponsor, if he's not, you know, getting to meetings or has some kind of support program, just like the director from Spectrum had said, like, you don't really stand much of a chance. It's a lot of work to keep your addiction in check, and I'm really glad that the NFL's giving him another shot, because, you know, it doesn't matter how many shots it takes. You never know when he's going to make it. I'm rooting for the guy.
Well, and you know, the Patriots are doing whatever they can.
Thanks for the call, Jay.
The Patriots are doing whatever they can in their power to make sure that he has everything that he needs. The NFL is. So he has the support of not only the Patriots, but also the NFL and Roger Goodell. So that has to feel.
Well, Roger Goodell's rooting for the Patriots.
He's a fan of the
it
Patriots.
It is documented. Why nobody else has picked up on this? He is rooting for the Patriots. He is rooting every time that Josh Gordon goes out for a pass
he is
going to catch it.
And it's a touchdown.
It's
yeah.
amazing. This is the biggest takeaway,
it
Ryan.
Is. Breaking news.
There you you go. Once again, if you want to hear a couple interviews that we've done already on the show, Rick Porcello was excellent to lead off the show. He was in studio here at the Ford Fenway Park Studios, touched on a variety of topics, was very, very honest and open. And then we had Lisa Blanchard of Spectrum Health Systems and New England Recovery Center. And if you ever want to get a good perspective of sort of that world and that environment and the treatment and the philosophy and the mentality that goes into viewing this sort of situation in Josh Gordon, go and listen to what Lisa had to say, because it was really, really, I thought, very well done by her. Because I could understand.
Well, that's what's gonna, she didn't use any, you know, terms that you'd have to use a dictionary and WebMD to figure out what they meant.
And also, she came from a place where I think people, I was wondering that. Oh, yeah, I was wondering that. I was wondering that. Anyway, we're going to be taking away up until 6:10. Will Fleming on the Red Sox pregame show, Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold on the call. I'm Rob Bradford along with Ryan Hannibal. If you want to join the conversation, 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
93.7 FM WEEI.
All right. Bradford Show. I'm Rob Bradford with Ryan Hannibal, taking you onto the Red Sox pregame show. Big news come out of this very building that we're sitting in here. The Ford Fenway Park Studios, being Fenway Park, of course, is the news that Chris Sale is going on the injured list, the 10-day injured list, with elbow inflammation. Now, it is retroactive, so he is going to be eligible in about a week to come off of this. Dave Dombrowski is going to be talking to media in about a minute, and so we'll get all the information from that before we get off the air to sort of see where we're at. But certainly, Ryan, I mean, this Chris Sale thing... this is not good news. I mean, of course it's not good news, but I think more than anything, it's surprising, because you have a guy that seemed healthy.
Yeah.
You had a guy who was pitching well, had good velocity, had good stuff.
Everything seemed to
turn the corner, right? And then, boom, here it is.
My first thought is, at this point, why not just shut him down for the rest of the season?
Well, I don't think it depends. I mean, we're going to hear what happens, but elbow inflammation, it's feels not, icky.
Right. Especially that it happened now when he pitched. How many days ago?
Yes. I mean, but I want to hear what Dombrowski said. I want to hear what they say, because if you are in it, like if you aren't going to do more damage than super, then keep pitching him. Because like people can say they're not in it, but until you're not in it, until you're officially not in it, I'm not talking about mathematically eliminated, you can still go on a run and you can get back into this. Now, it's not likely, because as we point out, the Tampa Bay is playing a bunch of crappy teams the next three series. But yeah, Chris Sale, if you're going to pick one guy that you cannot get hurt, it's Chris Sale.
Well, my thing is, for the long term, and you have to put money into this guy, so is it really worth, you know, taking any chances that the injury gets worse?
If you're taking any chances at all. If this is like, basically, if this was like last year, remember?
Yep.
He has a shoulder, he comes back, and then he has to go back on.
Right.
If it's like that.
Oh, of course not.
No.
But I think if it's even anything remotely, you know, close to that, what did the Red Sox have to gain by throwing him out there every 5 days?
Well, to make the playoffs.
But is that realistic?
I just give you my speech. That it is realistic.
They're not playing the Orioles every game.
They are.
Breaking news.
Who knows? By the way, the Royals. They're playing the Royals in what could be like half an inning or less.
When is that game?
That game is Thursday, and in case people don't know, you can come on down to Fenway Park. I think it's at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
It's the conclusion of the suspended game. Now, I think my facts are right. Josh Taylor was pitching. I think the Royals are hitting. It's a tie game in the 10th inning.
Yep.
Andrew Benintendi, I believe, is the first one up for the Red Sox.
So it starts.
But the most important part of this entire equation for that day is that I am going to be in the broadcast with Joe Castiglione.
You are?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's the biggest news of all.
It's history. I feel honored, because it's legitimately history. I want to do something where maybe around the podcast of have people guess how many pitches the Red Sox pitchers will throw that day. or something. Think of that.
There has to be something along that.
There has to be
like
something
over under on how long the game lasts.
Yes, that's a good one too. Yeah, you get a T-shirt or you get to ride in the rickshaw.
You can do a lot of these things.
There's a lot. This is not. I am looking forward to this
game
day.
Is good for business.
It's good. People
and it benefits Jimmy Fund.
Yes, exactly. So they announced it. Adults are $5 to get in. I think it's general seating, probably.
Probably.
And then kids are free.
But that's a great. This game could go 17 innings. You see,
are
like,
you kidding me? I'd be running down. I'd be running up to the Green Monster. I'd be sitting there. A lot of people don't get a chance to sit in. So yeah, this is it's going to be history.
It's going to be a great day in Boston.
It's going to be a great day in Boston
for the afternoon game. And go down in Gillette Stadium.
And you know
for
who's
the third
You know who's bitching about it?
Who?
Ordway, Maloney, Fourier.
Why? Because they don't know what time their show.
They don't
gonna
know
start?
What time the show is going to start. They're going to have to sit around. Oh my goodness! They're going to have to sit around
because their show could start on time.
And you know what I say to them? Come on by the park. Let's soak it in. Right?
Was it ever presented that they could call the game?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm kind of hoping Wiggy is the third person in on this.
On that day. Well, it is a Patriots preseason game.
This thing outside the bar. Oh, that night it is.
Yeah.
Thursday night.
Third preseason game.
What a day. What a sports day. What a sports day in Red Sox. Yeah. And I mean, in Boston. So anyway, like we said before, Chris Sale on the injured list. Elbow inflammation. We're going to get information from Dave Dombrowski. He's having a press conference, I believe, right now. So we'll figure this out. We'll get you the information as we did when Andrew Cashner was traded, right in the middle, right in the heart of the Bradford show, right the exact same time, and we broke it down like nobody's business. Well, we're going up all the way up until about 6:10, and guess what, Ryan? We're breaking this crap down, right?
When breaking news break, we break
yeah,
it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes. We broke the news.
Sure. Yes. I hated that.
Me too.
I hate it. It's like no. We don't.
It's not true.
No, we don't.
Glenn Ordway reading Adam Schefter's tweet.
Yes, like yes, exactly. Anyway, if you want to join the conversation, like we said, we're up until the Red Sox pregame show. 617-779-7937. You will monitor Twitter for me, right?
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Tom Brady not playing tonight.
All right, Todd. So what we got? No, I'm talking about the Dombrowski stuff.
No.
So I'm sure that Dombrowski will confirm Tom Brady's not playing either.
Yes, we have nothing from Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, well, we're going to get there. He's right in the middle of it. It's going to be probably, I'm guessing, about a 10-15-minute press conference. Everyone will run to their phones and tweet and say that he said this or he said that, and then we'll get the information. But you monitor that. Chris Sale on the injured list. Tom Brady not playing. We've been talking a lot about Josh Gordon. We've had some great guests on, Rick Porcello being one of them. You can go to WEI.com to listen to that. Now I kind of know he came in here very sort of downtrodden. And I had to pick him up with my words.
You did a good job of it.
I feel like I did, but now I kind of know why. Maybe he was like, sad about Chris Sale.
Maybe he knew something.
They're very tight in that starting rotation.
Lockers right next to each other.
They are, yes. You know the lay of the land.
The few times I've been here this
good
year.
Good for you. Remember the BBWAA. Let's go to the phone lines. Fred in Maryland. Fred, my friend, how are you?
Pretty good, Ron. How are you, my friend?
Well,
Ron?
In all my 85 years, Fred, I have never been called Ron in my life.
All right, then. I'm a little older than you, but that's...
I'm not clear. That's what I want to find out. Are you older or younger than me?
I'm 88.
Oh. You know, last time I talked to you, I swear, Fred, you were 86.
It's been 2 years.
Well, I went up since you talked to me. This is an interesting thought. Since Sales is on the disabled list and we might
injured
not
list.
Keep him for the rest of the season, why don't we do like Tampa Bay does? Every fourth day, we have a bullpen game.
That's what that's basically what they're trying to.
Yeah.
And you said, don't correct Fred about the injured list and disabled list. In '08, it was called the disabled list.
I'm factually correct.
All right, right?
Right.
Right. Oh, okay.
But today it's the injury list.
You got it. There you go, Fred. You're catching up with the times. I like it. But, Fred, you're not. Listen, this is how it is. This is what they've been doing. This is what they have to do. They don't have any logical replacements for Chris Sale, Fred.
Well, we'll start you, Baldy, and take him out of the pet bowl.
Well, he's starting tomorrow. He's starting tomorrow, Fred.
Put Kastner in the bullpen along with Brazier just came back, and we'll use the rest of the bullpen to play every fourth day to pitch a game. That's
Fred,
all.
You've seen a lot of baseball, Fred. Do you think this team is making the playoffs?
No.
Like it. Like the honesty.
Unfortunately, and I'm a pretty much an optimist. There's no way in heaven with the kind of schedule gotten with the injuries they have right now. I don't care how hard they hit. The other teams have to lose. There's too many teams ahead of them. You got Oakland ahead of them. You got Cleveland ahead of them. Minnesota ahead of them. Just about everybody's ahead of them. Our Tampa Bay is going to be playing 14.
You just ripped that information right off of me. You didn't know that before I said that, did you, Fred?
Yes, I did. These poor teams can sometimes turn around and bite you. That's like they did last night, Detroit.
Right, you lose, story. Fred. Thanks for the call. You're actually, I'm not just saying this. You're actually, that's probably one of the most educated callers we've had all day. He actually knows his stuff. It's not just throwing stuff out there. Fred, you have your fastball even at the great age of 88. I like how he said he confirmed that he's going up and he's not going down in age.
He's bright.
I mean, I thought for a minute that he might go the other way.
Maybe when you get that old, for some reason, something happens.
From your mouth to God's ears, Ryan. All right, we got to take a break. 617-779-7937. I'm Rob Bradford along with Ryan Hannibal. We're going to be taking up to the Red Sox pregame. In case you missed it, Chris Sale on the injured list with elbow inflammation. When we get back from the break, we'll give you what Dave Dombrowski had to tell the media about the situation. Be back right after this.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
All right, we got a few more minutes of the Bradford Show. I'm Rob Bradford with Ryan Hannibal. Obviously, big breaking news coming out of Fenway Park, which is where we are right now. Chris Sale on the injured list, going injured list with elbow inflammation. And we should note, you know, before we went to the break, we said Dave Dombrowski's talking, and now he's finished talking. Now we're seeing some of the comments coming out. Do we have that sound from Dombrowski? All right, here we go. Here's some of Dave Dombrowski just talking to the media.
So Chris said he didn't feel anything Tuesday when he pitched. Wednesday, he felt some stiffness, a little more than normal. Didn't say anything to anyone. Thursday, the same thing. Felt a little more stiffness. Didn't go away by Friday. So he came in and told the training staff yesterday. I don't know the exact time he told them, but I didn't find out till after the game. So they told me after the game last night that he had some stiffness. And at that point, we said, okay, well, let's make sure we get this checked out. So he had an MRI performed today. And when he had the MRI performed today, they showed that there was inflammation in the left elbow. So he didn't say anything to anybody, at least with our club, until yesterday, because he didn't think much of it at the point. But there's definitely inflammation in there. The MRI showed that.
All right, I really don't care when he said it to the team. I'm like, honestly, he kept coming back to that, which is, you know, this. He didn't tell us. I don't care about that. What the rest of the press conference, and judging by the reporters' tweets and some of the comments, you know, this sounds very ominous. And you could almost hear it in Dombrowski's voice. I don't usually like, I mean, I'm not hearing things, right? He sounded not.
His tone was not the typical Dave Dombrowski tone.
Yes. So Dombrowski, I'm reading some of Chris Mason's tweets here. Dombrowski asked if he's confident this isn't serious. Dombrowski says, I cannot answer that, really. Will Sale pitch again this season? Dombrowski, I don't know. Good chance they're going to have Dr. James Andrews look at this.
That's the big thing right there. Whenever his name gets mentioned.
Yeah, and they're not saying definitively that he's going to go visit with James Andrews, but probably will go visit with James Andrews. So you piece all of this together, and, you know, is he going to pitch? I don't know. You know, is all of that going down that road? This sounds really bad. And there was another tweet from somebody, maybe it was Chris, but saying that he needed a couple days to himself, which is another thing. It just sounds, all of it, it sounds ominous. I mean, it does not sound good.
No, anytime, like I said, Andrew's name gets mentioned, but also days to yourself for a major league pitcher of Chris Sale's caliber who's been around the game a while, that's sort of not what you're looking
for. And here's the thing, and this is, you know, Chris Sale, we're going to find out exactly what's going on in the coming days, but this surfaces the conversation about Chris Sale. This surfaces the conversation about them targeting Chris Sale as a guy that they want to build around. John Henry saying in spring training how, you know, we messed up the John Lester thing.
Yep.
So we're not going to mess up this. It basically is what he said
right.
about Chris
Sale. Paraphrasing.
Yes. I think that was the exact words. So they identify, because of that, because of John Lester, they identify Chris Sale as the guy who they're gonna commit to. Now, they're doing this, Ryan, without knowing what you have in Chris Sale from the year before.
Right.
Because he was coming off of shoulder injury. And you don't know. I mean, you still didn't know what you had. And you have a guy, as much as he said, hey, everyone throws the same way, and it's not about how you throw. It's just about making sure that you duplicate your delivery and you don't do anything that you're not used to and get awkward and all of that. A lot of people in baseball were still saying, he throws this way, and it's not going to last.
Right.
Okay.
And they didn't need to extend him last season. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? He still was under contract for this year, right?
He's under contract for this year.
Right, so they could have played the year out.
And this is sort of, you know, I guess you applaud them. You applaud them at the time. Hey, you got him at a decent rate, you thought, and he wants to be here, and everyone's, yeah, you got the guy. But, Ryan.
You didn't know what you had.
You didn't know what you had. And I hear. It's like, I was never going to get there. We were going to figure this out one way or the other. Huh. So he's admitting that he was signing a deal with the Red Sox. And whether that deal was when he signed it or whether that deal was, you know, somewhere over the course of the year when you sort of had a better idea of what you had. And this isn't piling on. This is surfacing a conversation because of this injury, which may be a very serious injury,
right.
Which isn't second guessing.
No.
It's not. You committed to the guy sight unseen, basically.
Right. And I mean, obviously, Chris Sale has done some great things with the Red Sox. He's the guy that you want to have in your rotation, his mentality, the way that he conducts himself, the bulldog mentality. You want to have that in your rotation leading the way. But like you said before, you just didn't know what you had in him, you know, post that injury at the end of last year. And it would make it made business sense to me to wait a little bit to know what you had.
They prioritized Bogarts and Sale. That's yeah. who they prioritize.
I got one, right?
And, you know, in fairness, coming off of last outing, you're in August and you have this guy pitch really well with his velocity. He's like, oh, they made the right decision. He's on his way. I mean, so we're going to be hypocrites when it comes to this a little bit in terms of, like, the last week.
Right.
But it's not like we haven't surfaced this idea that maybe they jumped in on this, like, a little bit too early before.
You understand their mindset. You're not.
Well, it does come back to the John Lester thing.
That's going to hover over them with every decision they make.
This is like when we talk about John Henry, like he is very honest. And I said this before. This is why he does the majority of his interviews on email. He is very honest. He's honest. In that case, he was honest with me talking about the team in London. Mm. He's very honest. And when he's saying we screwed up John Lester, you know, this is something that we've been saying for the last few years. But he didn't have to, as ownership, he didn't have to say that.
Right.
But obviously, it's on his mind when he's thinking, we can't mess this up when it comes to Chris Sale.
And it keeps coming up, too, it seems like. It's not that he's only said it once. He said it multiple times.
Which, by the way, you know, the whole thing about the 30-year-old pitchers, like in this case, this isn't the best example of trying to say, hey, you know what, we learned our lesson, because this is the example of a guy turning 30 and then now you have the shoulder thing and now you have the elbow thing.
Right.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but maybe we're screaming and yelling about this stuff and he gets healthy. But based off Dombrowski's press conferences now, and you and I have both seen press conferences, we've both seen Dave Dombrowski press conferences, and if we're reading between the lines of this, it's not difficult to jump to the conclusion this is a serious thing.
No, Dombrowski usually has a, I don't want to say confident tone, but just his tone's different than what we just heard from that clip. That was a very ominous, you know, sort of down, not really knowing, not confident. I would say he wasn't really confident what he
Nick, saying. can you cue up again real quick? I know that we got to get going in a minute or so, but cue up just a few words from Dave Dombrowski when he's talking to the media, just because I just want to get his tone.
So Chris said he didn't feel anything Tuesday when he pitched. Wednesday, he felt some stiffness, a little more than normal. Didn't say anything to anyone. Thursday, the same thing.
Yeah, so I mean,
even when he was talking after the trade deadline, he seemed more confident.
He's very good at presenting himself. So anyway, Ryan, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
So you gotta run and watch this Patriots game tonight. Listen to the Red Sox in the background.
I will be doing both.
I will be sitting here at Fenway Park watching the Red Sox, finding out what's going on with Chris Sale. Thank you to Rick Porcello for stopping on by. And thank you for all our guests. Thank you to Lisa Blanchard, Vice President of Clinical Services for Spectrum Health Systems and New England Recovery Center. She was great talking about Josh Gordon. We got to get going. Ryan Hannibal, Rob Bradford, I'll be back tomorrow morning with Wiggy and Reamer. We'll see you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.